Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Nerd News Desk here on the Pop Culture Network, popculturenetwork.com or thepopc.net. Yes, all right, so today we are going to be talking about new comics that are coming out this week. We're going to be talking a little bit about the Intellivision, the Amico, I think it's called. We're going to be talking about Marvel's new event. And we're going to be talking some more about comic book sales and talking about, I've discussed before about how Marvel will inflate sales sometimes, and we're going to look into that a little bit more and look at some of the other books where they seem like a big deal, but they're not as big a deal as you might think. So, I know it sounds a little confusing, but we're going to try it. And I've got my headphones in here because I know some of you like them, some of you don't, but I am going to try doing some sound drops. Although I wonder if that might be way too loud. It might be. And this is probably not the show where you expect to hear some... So maybe, I don't know.
It was awful!
I was terrible!
Get him away!
Okay, so maybe you guys didn't like it, but tough nookie. Tough cookie. Yeah, that's what we're doing today. It's one of those days. Actually, today's my dad's birthday, and I didn't realize it until earlier today. Well, first of all, I always think my dad's birthday is the 12th instead of the 10th. One of those things. But then I found out today, it's actually his 75th. And I have planned, whoop! So we're throwing some plans together last minute, and we're going to make it a night for him to remember. Woo! So taking him to his favorite restaurant, my son baked a cake. Yes, actually, my son baked a cake, because he has to learn some real skills for when he gets out into the real world. So we've been throwing some stuff. So it's a little... I wasn't even sure if we were going to be able to do this show today, but I missed you guys, because I like you. So... what are we going to start with? Let's start with a blank screen. There we go. Well, let's talk about some of the new comics coming out this week. And those of you, again, on audio only, you can always catch the show. If you want to come to thepopc.net, you can catch the video and see the images that go with this. But as far as... I'll try to explain some of the stuff if we're looking at something. But let's see. If we go to previewsworld.com, the first thing they throw up there is Image Comics. So we're going to take a look here. Battle Pug. This is... Okay, so here's one of these things. Battle Pug is a book... I read the original Battle Pug graphic novel, I guess it was, from Mike Norton several years ago. Loved it. Thought it was great. Everything he's done since, never read. And I don't know why, and I really should. And Mike Norton's one of those guys, he's a super nice guy if you meet him in person. I met him at a con several years ago. If I remember correctly, he does this weird thing where he draws his layouts on regular 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper and then projects them onto the giant paper that's used for printing comics, or nowadays, I think he may even just scan them in and digitally draw on top of it. But anyway, those paper ones that he was doing, they had a lot of detail and a lot of stuff. He was selling them real cheap. And he was like, yeah, you know, grab a whole bunch, I'll sell them to you, you know, cut a deal if you want to grab some. And I was like, oh, really? Wow. And really nice. Like I said, really detailed stuff for being on a smaller sheet of paper. It was really kind of incredible to see how much detail he puts in on a small thing. So I like the guy, and I like Battle Pug, and I really love the idea of Battle Pug, but it's just one of those things, I don't know. Once it went to an ongoing series, I kind of dropped off, and I feel bad. Like, I do actually want to go back, because it is about this giant warrior pug dog, which is, you know, pretty cool. Gideon Falls, this is one of my favorites. If you've ever seen me on the Comic Book Chronicles, you'll know that often Gideon Falls is my click of the week. It's one of my favorite books. No matter what week it comes out, it generally is. It's this very bizarre multiverse. Evil is jumping through the different dimensions, and some of the different dimensions have different elements of time involved, and it's really hard to kind of talk about and wrap your mind around, but it is a fantastic series. Absolutely love it. Hit Girl, I have not been reading anything. Moonshine, I read Moonshine when it first came out, and for the most part I enjoyed it, but it was a miniseries. And so it was like 6 issues. And it's like, okay, cool. And then you read it, and it's about werewolves, and it's like, all right, well, you know, it's, I mean, it's okay. Not the greatest thing. And then they're like, oh, and now it's ongoing. And I just, meh. I liked it better when it was gangsters and guys in the backwoods and moonshiners, bootleggers, and some of the crime stuff involved and all that stuff. I enjoyed, once it got into more of the werewolf stuff, I was a little less thrilled with it, but, you know, it's whatever. Let's see, Reaver, Spawn, Rat Kings, Trees, no. Undiscovered Country, nope, don't read any of that. Dark Horse, Aliens vs. Predator, new series, Thicker Than Blood, Jeremy Barlow, not familiar with that person at all. Doug Wheatley. I think Doug Wheatley did a series from Alterna, if I remember correctly. That name sounds familiar. And yes, I'm using Bing. I binged it because, oh, here we go. It's the first thing here. Look, I'm using the new beta version of Edge that's based off of Chrome. It's using the Chromium engine. I'm trying it out, so it automatically defaults to Bing, and I'm just letting it go for now. Let's see. Star Wars, How to Train Your Dragon. Okay, doesn't really say a whole lot there. Rebel Scum. Okay. Wheatley. Yeah, but I still feel like he did something for Alterna, I want to say. But maybe that was a different Wheatley. I don't know. All right. Well, anyway. Predator, Spaceship, Adolescent Girl, Brother, Last Survive, Cat Mouse Chase. I don't know. The problem with these is the same thing I have with a lot of horror comics. It's difficult to build up a lot of the tension and let the gore really, you know, shock you or surprise you when it's a comic. It doesn't work the same way, so I don't know. I might just read the first one, give it a shot, you know, just kind of see if it's worth anything, and then move on from there. Let's see. Ether, nope. Steeple, nope. Triage, nope. All right. IDW, Disney Afternoon, Dungeons & Dragons, Dying is Easy, Sonic. Okay, so my kids both read the Sonic and Hedgehog comics. They both love them. In fact, I do have to buy 2 copies of every single one, and one kid gets 1 copy, one kid gets the other copy. That way they have their own copies. Generally, Philip wants the cover B, Libby wants the cover A, so that's usually how that goes. Star Trek Voyager, no, I'm not a fan of Voyager. And TMNT. Wow, it's actually the 100 for that. Well, good for them. I don't read it, but good for them. All right, DC Comics. Batman the Outsiders, no. White Knight. I've not been reading White Knight. I know everyone's like, oh, it's so good, but I read the first one back when it came out, and I just didn't care. I don't care about Joker being a hero and Batman being a villain, so none of that really means much to me. Batman's Grave, no. Dark Knight, Returns of Golden Child. What? Is this? Oh, this is the Frank Miller. This is returning to that Frank Miller universe. I was not a big fan of Dark Knight 3. So, I don't know. I'm probably going to let that one pass. I'm probably not going to go for it. Even though, generally speaking, I do like Frank Miller. Generally speaking, I loved a lot of his stuff. Even Holy Terror, that a lot of people hated, I thought was great. It was really good. And you could definitely see how it was a Batman book originally. I don't really have that much of a problem. But the Dark Knight stuff... Dark Knight 1 was great. Dark Knight 2, eh. Actually, I would say 2 was... Dark Knight 2... was probably like the RoboCop 2. And Dark Knight 3 wasn't RoboCop 3. It was definitely better than that. But still, it was more like the RoboCop remake. Like, I would definitely put the RoboCop remake... I thought it was decent for what it was and for reimagining it and making it more about the guy who gets torn apart and less about the corporate battles and the technology. You know what I mean? And I know a lot of people disagree, but, you know, fine, whatever. But, yeah. So Dark Knight 3, not as bad as 2, but... still, I don't think I'm going for it. Detective Comics. Detective Comics has been so good. So good lately. Although switching writers now. So now it's going to be Tom Taylor, which is different. Who did the last one? I can't remember. But anyway, so, you know, new writer. So maybe this arc, I don't know. You're going to have to see whether or not it's good or not. But one thing I do like, at least in a situation like this, Detective Comics... you know, comes out every month, or I don't think it's a twice a month anymore. I think it's just a once a month. Maybe it's a twice. I don't know. But, you know, new writer comes in for a new arc. It's kind of like having a new miniseries, but instead of going out there and adding another miniseries to your schedule, boom, you just pick up Detective Comics. Like, that's one of the things I liked about Legends of the Dark Knight, is that it was constantly rotating through writers and artists. You know, everyone's coming on for a new arc. And what it really did was, instead of having all of these miniseries going on, like right now, you know, there's the Batman's Grave, and there's Batman versus Ra's al Ghul. Now they're doing the Batman Golden Child. There's, what's that, White Knight. There's some other Joker book from Jeff Lemire. There's a follow-up to that Damned, I forget what it is. There's going to be doing that. There's Batman and the Outsiders. There's, you know, it's like these, they keep doing all of these ongoing side stories. At least with something like Detective, you know, it may switch writers and artists, but it's so far they've been good. And you can just buy this one series and you're getting these good stories. Ever since they dropped the Bat Family stuff, it's been fantastic, and I really like this series. You guys should definitely pick up the past arc, and I'm sure that'll be pretty good too. Ooh, Dollar Comics. They're doing a Dollar Comic reprint of Judas Contract Part 1. No. Wait. Reprinted to coincide. Oh, here we go. It's the finale. I was going to say, that's not Part 1. Reprinted to coincide with Tales from the Dark Knight. Okay, so. But that is definitely a good issue. If you want to know why comics, everybody says that the comics back in the day were so much better, this is it. This is one of those ones that back in the day, so much better. Dollhouse, still not reading any of those. The Joe Hill stuff, don't care really. Doom Patrol, don't care. Far Sector, don't care. Flash is still solid. It's good. It's still Williamson, right? Joshua Williamson, still doing the book. It's good. Again, it's tough. It's really not for new readers, but it's a good series. Flash 84, let's see, this is part 3. So again, you're in the middle of an arc, and the series is really built on the idea that you keep reading arc after arc after arc. You really have to know what's going on. If you're going to try to get into the series, you're going to need some Wikipedia, but it's good. Gotham City Monsters, boy, oh, that was bad. That first one was bad. Harley Quinn, Poison Ivy, don't care. I really don't care about either of those characters. I really don't. And the fact that they put them together and they're doing like this, almost like they're girlfriends, I care less. That makes me not want to read it more. So I just don't care about Harley Quinn, never really have. Poison Ivy, don't care. Harley Quinn, Year of the Villain. Nah, this is another special that you could probably skip. Probably lots of short stories about different... and look, Mark Russell, yeah, he's not written a single thing that I've ever liked. Everything he's written, every single thing that he's done pretty much so far has been some sort of corrupting of something fun into something terrible. Basically, that's what it comes down to. He takes something that's nice, innocent, fun, friendly, and he makes it terrible, despicable in some cases. So, yeah, no. Definitely not going to read that if that's from him. Hawkman, I don't know how Hawkman is still being made. And I don't mean that as a slight to it. It's just one of those, he's always been a side character, never really had a lot going for him. And I'm just really surprised that the story is still going. Robert Vendetti, he's solid. You know, he's a good guy. So, you know, nothing really wrong there. But it's just, he's one of those characters that they can never really figure out what to do with him, and so he never sticks around very long. I read this series when it first came out. I enjoyed it, but I kind of dropped it after a while because it was really falling to the bottom of my read pile. You know, like, it was okay, but it wasn't really all that special. And I thought for sure it was going to get canceled at issue 12, but it's still here. So, and look at that. That variant looks pretty nice. This is Panosian? Yeah. That's good. That has a real... Joe Kubert look to it. Maybe a little bit of the Truman Brothers in there, but yeah, wow, that looks good. I like that. Alright, let's see, Justice League Odyssey. No, I don't read that one. Ocean Master, Year of the Villain. Ruby, Supergirl. I'm surprised. Again, this is one, I'm surprised this is still going. Oh, and another new writer, Jody Hauser. So they switched writers. I don't know how long ago they switched writers, but there's that. Although, you got the Art Germ... No, this isn't an art germ. It looks like it. This is Derek Chu. Is that what it says? It looks like an art germ, but hey, that's nice. That's a nice cover. Usually the variants on Supergirl are pretty nice. Although, that's weird. I'm just noticing that there's like this ridge around the Superman symbol. Like it's like a plastic, you know, applique instead of it being, you know, printed on the shirt. That's interesting. You know, different artists do different things. They have their license to do that. That's fine. Superman 18. This may be the last Superman book I buy for a while, honestly. I've considered dropping the book. This is the one where he's going to drop the Clark Kent secret identity. He's going to let the world know who he is. And honestly, this is... I don't like Bendis. I haven't really liked his work on these Superman books. And it's just getting... This, to me, feels like... If you remember the Superman books of the late 90s, like in 98, 99, when they were still doing the triangle numbers, but the books just didn't really feel like they went together. Lex Luthor had like a girlfriend, and I don't know. It got too soap opera-ish after a certain point, and you had characters that were just coming in and going and getting dropped and being forgotten about, and... I don't know. The Bendis run has not impressed me. All the changes he's made, the Rogar Zol, making Superboy old and sending him off to the future, and just not a fan. So I'll probably buy this one, you know, because it's going to be a big deal. It might be worth something, whatever. But I'm actually thinking that might be the last one I buy for a while. Titans. Okay, here's the Dark Multiverse. Again, I go back and forth on these. Some people really like them. Some of them are really good. Some of them are not. Who's doing this? Kyle Higgins, Matt Groom. Oh, Tom Rainey. He's decent on art. Yeah, he's solid. Again, oh, Lee Weeks doing the cover. I like Lee Weeks a lot. But anyway, I guess we'll see. You know, and again, these are Dark Multiverse. So these are kind of like What If. If you remember the Marvel What If, it seemed like every Marvel What If had to end with like the universe was destroyed or everyone became a vampire or Earth blew up and they set up a colony on the moon. Like something happened. It was always like the worst thing. And you're always like, wow, the world ended. You know, that's kind of what these Dark Multiverse things feel like. There's a lot of that stuff. Wonder Twins. This is terrible. I hate that series. I think what they've done to the Wonder Twins. All right, let's move over to Marvel. Reprint there. Arrow. I've heard people actually like Arrow, but it's a little confusing with the title. The Valeria, whatever, from Conan. You know, even the Conan people don't seem to pick this one up. There are a lot of people that get Savage Sword and Age of Conan and Conan the Barbarian. They don't pick up Valeria. Amazing Mary Jane. Haven't heard a whole lot of motion on that one either. We've got another Annihilation book. Beta Ray Bill. I like Beta Ray Bill. I do, but I haven't been reading these other Scourge ones. I have a couple of them. I thought I might get to them one day, and they're just kind of sitting in my read pile. There's something with the Annihilation Wave. I don't know if it's circled back around the universe or what the deal is, but there's something going on with that. Silver Surfer. Let's see. Who's doing Dan Abnett? Well, it's a Dan Abnett, so it's probably going to be good. He's another good writer. Usually enjoy him. Captain America, Captain Marvel. Don't read any of the Captains. Doom 2099. I don't know. These 2099. I just can't get into these. I don't know. There's something about them. Maybe because I was around when the original 2099 was a thing. I think this art is actually pretty good. But I mean, I'll be honest, when the original ones came out, I worked in a comic book shop, of course. I was in high school. I bought every single 2099. I think Doom 2099 and Spider-Man 2099 were the only ones like that I stuck with. X-Men, I stopped reading. Punisher, I stopped reading. Ghost Rider, stopped reading that one. Just couldn't do all of them. So this time around, I'm just like, I've been there. Done that. Not reading any X-Men stuff. Fantastic Four, as long as Dan Slott's on it, not reading that. Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. I tried. My son likes a more, I don't know what's the term, friendly Spider-Man. He tried getting into Amazing for a while, just couldn't do it. There were some other Spider-Man books that he's enjoyed the last few years have been the Renew Your Vows, set in the future, and the Spider-Verse stuff. Tried to get him to read Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, and he just couldn't get into it. So, just didn't happen. Ghost Rider, Giant Size Defenders Facsimile Edition. Again, I love these facsimile editions. I was never a huge fan of Defenders, but definitely, because it's a facsimile, I'll buy it anyway, read it. I'll still enjoy it. Immortal Hulk. I'm so behind on Immortal Hulk. I need to spend like 2 days just getting caught up on comics, doing nothing but reading comics. I just don't have the time. I still don't like these Alex Ross covers. I just don't like Alex Ross's artwork. I know a lot of people do. I just don't. There's no weight to everything. Everything's like super light. I just don't like it. Let's see what else we got. Marvel's Avengers Iron Man. Oh, I think these are reprints. Marvel's Avengers of kids stuff. Marvel Avengers Iron Man stuff. So when you see that, I think that's what that is. Miles Morales Spider-Man. I liked the old... You know, when Bendis did Miles Morales, I enjoyed it. Once it switched to this new writer, new series, didn't care for it at all. Stopped reading. New Morbius, don't care. New Mutants, don't care. Punisher Soviet, don't care. Savage Sword of Conan, don't care. So many of these books. Spider-Man 2099, don't care. The Spider-Verse, okay, there's one. Kids are going to read that. Dr. Aphra, I dropped that one. I tried reading it early on. Marvel they did the thing that comic companies always do. They got the Star Wars license. They did a Star Wars series, cool. They did a Darth Vader, okay. They did Dr. Aphra, fine. And some of them were pretty good, but then they kept going, and they came out with this special, and this special, and this miniseries, and that miniseries, and this ties into the new movie, and this adapts the old movie, and this shows you what happened between the old movies, and this, blip, blip, and suddenly it's like, I don't want to buy 40 books a month just to keep up with Spider-Man, with the Star Wars stuff. So I just stopped buying them. Like, I had to let it go. I just had to let it go. That was, those got cut, and I stopped reading all those books. Symbiote Spider-Man Alien Reality. What is this? Peter Parker in battle with the Hobgoblin. Where did the Hobgoblin get new powers? The original creative team from Symbiote Spider-Man returns for the next installment of Classic Tales. Oh, I see. All right. These are the ones that are retelling stories from the past. Again, this is one I tried to get my son into, and he didn't care. Although they have all of these, I see these special covers that are Symbiote Swap. That's interesting. So they're doing a bunch of variants where it's the symbiote covers recreated with the symbiote suit, although not exactly the original artwork touched up. That's not a big fan. I think that if that had been more of the original artwork just touched up with the suit, I would have enjoyed that a little bit more. All right, anyway, True Believers, some more True Believers books. Love those. Okay, Valkyrie Jane Foster. We're going to talk about this. I have mentioned this book before and the sales on this book. I will talk about this book in a bit because I did do a little bit of digging. When I go and talk about another series, Once in Future, and the sales on that, we'll come back to this. But this is a series that Marvel really pushed and really tried to get people, even gave away free copies to stores, and it just didn't do anything. Yondu, X-Force, nope. All right, so Dynamite, Betty Page stuff, no. Black Terror stuff, no. Deja Thoris, no. Kiss Zombies, no. Vampirella, no. So none of those. Boom Studios, BB Free. Buffy, no, not a fan. Power Rangers, not a fan. Magicians, not a fan. Red Mother, what was this? I remember getting a thing a while ago. Jeremy Hahn. Oh, from Beauty. Okay, yeah. No, not a fan. Yeah, I like how it says here, continuing Boom Studio stream successes. Red Mother follows Faithless, which is not a success. Once in Future was not really a success. And Something is Killing the Children, which is mediocre success at best. So, yeah, great string of books that are not that great. Like Boom has fallen so hard. I know Buffy and Angel fans, but I mean, if those books went somewhere else, you'd buy the books over there. It has nothing to do with Boom. The stuff that Boom does that is original is just not good stuff. All right, everything else. We got some Archie stuff that nobody buys anymore. Catalyst Prime, 7 Days. Is this the Louise Simonson? Or Gail Simone? Oh, Gail Simone does this one. All right, so here's the thing. 7 Days, the Comics Gate guy on YouTube, Zach, your boy Zach, I can't think of his name, Richard Meyer, the one who Mark Wade went to the publisher and was like, oh, you can't hire him, he's a Nazi and he's racist and he's evil, and so the publisher pulled out, and so now he's suing Mark Wade. He actually read this first one and he was like, I like it. It's like, Gail Simone hates me, I like this book. He's like, you guys should read it, it's fantastic. And people won't buy it. People are like, no, forget Gail Simone, she hates people, she's, you know, a huge hate monger on Twitter and hates everybody and, you know, won't give anybody a second chance, you know, to explain themselves or anything. If you say something and she doesn't agree with it, that's it, you're an evil Nazi, you know, woman hater, whatever. And he's like, this is a good series, you guys should read this. And people just will not do it. Oh, my GeForce driver is available. Well, we'll get back to you later, GeForce driver. Let's see. Dark Age, Dr. Mirage. I don't know anybody that reads any of this Valiant stuff anymore. You know, years ago, I used to read, and I say years ago, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago even. Like, I liked a lot of the Exo and some of the Bloodshot stuff. But this stuff, nowadays, this stuff that they do, nobody cares. Nobody reads it. There are three comic book stores in town and none of them are really selling this book. Generally, two out of the three stores, one store doesn't order them at all. One store orders it, but they order one copy and is one copy for the shelf of whatever the Valiant stuff is. And the other store, I think, orders two or three copies and that's it. This is a town with three viable comic book shops. This is a comic book town. This is a town of 100,000 people with three comic book shops. And yet, you're getting two or three copies sold to the entire town. I mean, that's horrible as far as comic sales go. Valiant stuff is just dead. Let's see. Dog Eaters, Dragonfly and Dragonfly Men. This is the one series from Ahoy that I think really has legs and has done well. And it's basically, you know, Batman in a... you know, 50s universe, good Batman. I don't mean good as in like good versus evil, but good like happy, friendly, family, fun. And then there's this version of Dragonfly Man in another universe where everything's dark and gritty and mean and people die. And the two universes are connected. Sometimes the characters flip back and forth, or sometimes the villains flip back and forth. They're, you know, they're really connected. Tom Payer? I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Anyway, it's good. It's a good series. It's fun. Pokes fun at stuff that's, you know, too dramatic, and pokes fun at stuff that's too, you know, friendly and family, whatever, and too innocent. And so it's just it's a good, you know, meta comic. Okay, let's see. Helena, no. Goon, no. Goon. Here's the funny thing. Every time Goon comes out, Killen and I were at Chicago Comic Con, I believe it was, several, you know, 7 years ago, something like that. And the Dark Horse presentation, I think it was, the guy who does the Goon, can't think of his name. Oh, crap, now I feel bad. The guy who does the Goon is Eric Powell. Eric Powell was there, and he was like, the Goon is coming to Dark Horse, and it's going to be monthly. And I guarantee you, it's going to be monthly, every month. You're going to get a new copy of The Goon. I guarantee it. I promise you. And then it got like four copies, whatever. Lost the schedule. Disappeared for a while. Now it's back. Now back to Albatross Funny Books, which I believe is his own copy. His own company. And it's on number 7. So not monthly. But we joke every time it comes out. We pull it out of the box. And it's like, hey, remember when that was monthly? Invader Zim, still going. 48. That's incredible. That's incredible. Knights of the Dinner Table. Oh, man. I used to really like this. I enjoyed this quite a bit. Jolly Blackburn, he has turned into, like, the biggest a-hole on the internet. He is just so horrible online. Hates everybody. Mean to everybody. Just terrible. Augie and the Cockroaches. My daughter likes a lot of the cartoon-inspired ones, especially based off classic ones. This is a newer age comic, the YouTube sensation. So this is an online series, not a classic one. I don't know if she's going to like this or not, but we'll probably try it. I'll probably grab the first one, let her read it, see if she enjoys it. Rye, yeah, talked about those. Rivers of London, that's interesting. I was going to say, is that the cover to Akira? That's funny. All right, let's see. Robotech, which really didn't take off like I thought it might. Zenoscope books that really just don't do anything. Zenoscope's another one like Valiant where they have their core fans and they go after those core fans. They keep their core fans entertained, but they just don't do a whole lot outside of those. Scary Christmas. Not into these holiday anthology and short story books. And wow, look at that. There's going to be a 13-year-old kid gets a copy of this book, and that's going to be the book that he carries with him all through his teenage years. All right. Scratcher. Shoplifters will be liquidated. Threshold. Web Witch. Yeah, a lot of these books. You Are Obsolete. Wretches. No. Zorro. Okay, so that's it. So again, for me, handful of books coming out this week. Again, although, honestly, I'm looking at all of these, although Omega the Unknown, this is a weird book. I'm really surprised Marvel's bringing that book back. But all of these other, well, okay, maybe not Man-Wolf so much, Marvel Premiere. But yeah, all of these great books, I recognize these covers. These True Believers books, they're only a buck, reprint, fantastic. Similar to what DC's doing with those dollar comics. If you, seriously, go pick up a copy of this book, the Tales of the Teen Titans Annual Number 3. Read that and tell me that isn't the best thing that comes out this week. On top of everything else, that's going to be the best comic, and it's a reprint of a 20-year-old. Well, no, wait. Crap, how old am I? Oh, man, that's like 40 years ago? Oh, my gosh. I'm getting old. I don't like that. All right, so anyway. Yeah, read that book, and that's going to be the best comic that comes out this week, and it's a 40-year-old reprint, and that's just how it goes. Okay, Once in Future. I'm going to jump to Once in Future. We'll talk about Jane Foster a little bit here, but Once in Future, someone, I forget where they messaged me. I don't remember if it was, I think it was on YouTube, left a comment or whatever. They were asking about this book because it went through, it was reprinted, and then number one was reprinted again, and it was reprinted again. It was like reprinted like five times. It's like, this must be a big book. Like, this must sell really well. And by the time it gets to number four, he's like, wow, this must be like an upward trajectory, like high number book. This must be doing really good. Nope. So, Once in Future number one, the book that's been reprinted so many times, because so many people demanding it, 30,000 copies. It did not sell a lot of copies when it first came out. You can see here it's down in the 60s. It's 64 is its number, base sale, 66 for the Fused, 70 by dollar amount. Okay, so what do these differences mean? So the list of the books that sold and didn't sell, the sales, this is their sales rank by units sold, is this number here. And this number, just basically has them in order because they sold. You can see as the numbers start at the top and they come down. This Fused number means that when there's multiple covers, you've got a variant or you've got a cardstock and a regular cover, cover A, cover B, something like that. They fuse those sales together. So even though this one is 64, it's actually 66 because a couple other books, when fused together, jump up higher in the list and displace it a little bit. It's book number 70, one because of discounts, two because of cover price. Marvel keeps doing a lot of these $4.99 books, and I think, was this the month that had the $7.99? Yeah, Absolute Carnage, $7.99, Marvel Comics, $1,000, $9.99. These are good-selling books, 200,000 copies. That's, fair. 150 for Batman stuff. House of X stuff, 100,000 copies. Then they all kind of start to fall down. Absolute Carnage, 94. So definitely much higher on number one than number two, but still, 100,000 copies, fine. But you come down and just all these numbers drop. 30,000 copies. This is a mid-tier book. This is a mid-level book. This is not a high-quality book. Now, granted, it's from a smaller company. So you can say, there it is. But let's look at something like Valkyrie Jane Foster. Here's number two. Number two was 43,000 copies. And you go, wow, that's really good. It's number 35. It's 35 fused. It's number 72 by dollar amount. You go, wait a minute, 72 by dollar amount? That's like half. Like, that's half the rank it should be based on numbers. And it is, because half of these sales were free copies that Marvel sent out to stores to try to beef up the sales of the book. So the book is higher in the charts. So it looks like a higher success. Look, it's in the top 40. It's, you know, if you got a song in the top 40, that's a hit. So comic book, this comic book is in the top 40. Look at that. But 72 in sales overall, because it was so heavily discounted, sent out to people. I mean, that's not good. You know, that's really not. If you look at something like, say, and here's Future Foundation, that's another one. So many free copies that were sent out to get it up to that 40,000 number. You know, it's if you look at it, it's number 40, 41 fused, and then you've got, boom, it's 102. Here's Valeria, the one I was talking about, Age of Conan Valeria. It's like people aren't really reading that, and here you can see, boom, again, they just sent out a bunch of free copies to try to get, you know, more people interested in. Just didn't work. All right, so once in Future number two, 27,000 copies, and if you look, numbers are a little closer. So discounts a little higher on these. But 30,000, 27,000, it's not 40, right? We've lost 10,000 here. I think there was still some sort of extra discount or extra copies, maybe. No, not on that. My mistake. I'm going to take that back. I'm thinking of Valkyrie. Valkyrie number two still had some free copies, yeah. So Once in Future two, so 30,000, but it's dropped way down. Like top 75. You've gone from 40 to 75. You've gone... excuse me, way down as far as that goes. Let's see, where was the Valkyrie Jane Foster number three? Again, 40,000 copies, right? So top 40, big hit, except it's 42 by sales, it's 73 by dollar. So again, massive discount, free copies, almost double to get that book out there, to get those numbers up, so they can keep saying, hey, look, it did so good. So now we go to Once in Future 3, and we're down to 25,000 copies, 24,320. And you can see, look, it's falling down into the realm of these dollar comics, and Valkyrie Jane Foster down to 23,000 copies. And this is, look, you go from 106 to 118. Discount still, I think they gave like an extra 5% discount or something on it to try to get people to order more. But look, it's just not going. And now when we talk about fused, you can look up here. Here's Batman. Batman cardstock, number 80 cardstock, 81 cardstock. You see how they have the NA. That's because they're down below. Their sales are fused in a different spot down at the bottom of the chart. So you can see here, 25,000, 24,000 of the cardstock. The more expensive covers, just not a big seller. People don't really care about these big seller cardstock covers. They have the overlays, I think the Year of the Villain overlays, whatever. If we come down all the way to the bottom of the list, here we can find Batman, number 13, number 15. You're looking at 86,000. Now remember, you go, wow, that's pretty good, right? These are the fused. These are the two covers together. 86,000 covers, that's pretty good. Except this should be 120,000, 150,000. And it's been steadily dropping. And ever since the shenanigans with issue 50 and the wedding didn't happen, and people bought all those specials, and people, you know, they were so excited for it, and then they really felt like they got disrespected. I mean, honestly, a lot of older, long-term readers, real excited for the wedding. They love the TV show, you know, when they were growing up, whatever. They've been following Batman forever. They found out about this thing. They got real excited, and then it didn't happen. And they just felt like they got pooped on. I'll say pooped on. Keep it clean. I'm not COPA certified, but you know, no need to swear if you don't need to. But anyway, so this is definitely way down, at least 20,000 copies down from probably where it should be. But even then, this should be 130,000 copies. It's just not. All right, so then Once in Future number 4, 20,000 copies is what we're down to. So even though those number ones, it's getting reprinted, it's being sent back out there, it's just not selling. And here's the Valkyrie Jane Foster 102, and it's by sales 108. And so this, you know, you're starting to get close enough here that some of these numbers are thrown off by books that are just more expensive. So it's number 108 by dollar sales, but that really doesn't mean a whole lot, because if you look at some of these books that are more expensive towards the top, a lot of these $4.99 books, like here, let's see, Absolute Carnage number 5, it's a $4.99. It's number 3 by sales, but it's number 2 by dollar amount. So it made more money at $4.99 than this book, this X-Men book at $3.99. You see how that works? Because it's more expensive, it doesn't sell as much, but it makes more money. That's why a lot of Marvel books are switching to $4.99. That's why DC dropped that whole $2.99 thing a couple years ago, because that's just how that goes. All right, so Once in Future 4, here's Once in Future 3, another 1,100 copies came through of people. I mean, this is your didn't meet demand. This is your stores that underordered and maybe should have ordered more. You're talking 1,100 copies over all of the United States of people adding copies. Just not anything worth talking about, really. Just very, very poor. So that's what's going on with that. Now, where's Jane Foster on this one? No, not Lumberjanes. Not Lumberjanes. Valkyrie Jane Foster, number 5. Okay, 102, 108, and 20,000 copies. So 20,000 copies is really its spot. And it's not even in the top 100. So that is a not top 100 book as far as comic sales. And Marvel really tried to push it and sent out so many free copies to get it up into the, you know, top 40, so they could say, look, there it is, it's a hit, that number one's a hit, but it just really is not. And you can see it's down here, you know, Nightwing, this is just one, you can see here, it's a fused, so this Nightwing is one of two possible covers, so it's kind of low there as far as that goes. Lois Lane, not selling well at all. Here's Dr. Aphra way down here. This Negative Zone, the special, Fantastic Four special, people just really didn't care about. So you can see how far down it comes with some of these books. They're just not big sellers. And even, you know, this Batman versus Ra's al Ghul, when they started doing these Neil Adams, you know, miniseries several years ago, and you're like, oh, that's cool, but then they kind of keep doing them, and they just get weird. And they're not really all that fun after a while. So that's the difference between the actual sales and then how sales get reported, and how they're actually not making a whole lot of money. You got to think here, if a comic book store is getting half off the price, okay? So your book that's $4, $3.99. Your local comic book shop is paying $2 per copy for that $3.99 book. That's how comic book stores make money and stay in business. They buy it for half price, sell it for full price. If you're a subscriber, you might get a discount. Your store is actually losing a little bit of that profit in order to retain you as a customer if you've got a pull list with a discount at your local store. So when you don't go pick up your books, they're actually losing money because they're losing some of that profit by holding it for you and not putting it out there for sale, giving you a discount, and then you don't go pick it up. Stores hate you for doing that kind of thing. So make sure you pick up your comics if you've got them out there. But, you know, if again, the store is getting half off, and then Marvel says, we're going to give you another, you know, you ordered 10 copies, we're going to give you another 10. You ordered 50, we're going to give you another 50. However big your store is, however many copies you're ordering, then think about how much less. Diamond is still going to get their cut from pulling through. You still got to pay the printers. You still got to pay to get them shipped. And now you're losing. Marvel is losing so much money on those books because they're trying to portray them as being much more popular, having much better sales, so they can turn to Disney or Disney shareholders and be like, look, you know, we had sales of this many copies because it's just considered a discount. So even though they're basically, by doubling it, they're cutting their profit, essentially giving away half of them for free, but what they actually calculated is a bigger discount of these books. But hey, look, we sold all these copies. Look how good we're doing selling copies. And the thing is, they're not selling that many copies, and it's not good for the comic book industry. So the industry as a whole is not doing as well as some of these places are going to portray it. And that is a little scary when you think about it. And it's really just kind of sad. I just want to try. I'm trying it out. I'm feeling it out. Putting it in there. Seeing if it's going to work. Okay. Let's talk about something else going on with Marvel real quick. They sent out a press release for Outlawed. And this just came today. This was 5 hours ago that they sent this out. 5 hours ago. Outlawed. This March, Marvel's brightest heroes will defend their very right to save the world in Outlawed, an event one-shot that will kick off one of 2020's biggest events. Wow! Announced this morning by the AV Club. Yeah, that's great. That's you know, every news site wants to cite another site that you gave the exclusive to. Great job. That's why I stopped doing a lot of these things. Look, you want to go to the exclusive interview with the AV Club? No, I would have preferred that you just stuck with, you know, letting everybody know instead of singling out one place to get a lot of traffic. But whatever. With the lives of Marvel's most popular heroes, from Miles Morales to Ms. Marvel thrown into chaos, Outlawed will raise tough questions at the Chicago-based writer and scholar Dr. Eve Ewing Ironheart. Look, if you want people to buy into your event as a big deal, don't cite that the writer of this big deal is the writer of a book that doesn't sell. I mean, we're talking about, when we were talking about Valkyrie Jane Foster not selling well and selling 20,000 copies, where do you think Ironheart falls? Ironheart is not a 50,000 copy book. It's not a 70,000. It's not a 100,000. It's way down there. In fact, I think it might even be less than what Valkyrie's doing. I'm not 100% sure. It's not a big selling book. So highlighting that your writer is from a book that doesn't sell is not a good way to get people interested. Let's see. Young people in conflict with the government. Bigger questions about what we ask of young people. We're bringing the next generation of heroes to the forefront in a major way, swinging for the fences in terms of story and scale. Almost every character who's under 21, even a few older, will be affected by the decisions. Look, Marvel did this story, okay? Like, you look at this, this is a series I've read. And in fact, there are these pages where it shows them at a congressional hearing. First of all, terrible. Look, no offense, but this is not the artwork that you should put on a big thing like this. Look at this. What is going on here? Especially then they print the lettering on the oh my gosh, forced perspective on Captain America here, where it's supposed to be this close up shot where he's got his hand out like this, and it looks goofy. It looks weird. The line art around his finger here, you can see it kind of following apart. The characters, what the heck is this thing on the back of Vision? They made it like twice the size of his head. So when his head is back, it's going to be gigantic. These character faces. And look at the backgrounds. The backgrounds are just scribbles. Like here they put a couple faces. Okay, you put one full face and two half faces in the back of this one panel and the tops of a couple other heads. Otherwise, the backgrounds of these panels are just scribbles. These are not good-looking pages. And again, this fake, it's supposed to like show that there's action and there's stuff going on, and there's really nothing here. Look at his mouth. What is going on with Nova's mouth? For those of you not looking, you know, maybe listening to the audio, it's like an upside-down smile. It's like the bottom lip is completely flat, and then the top lip is this half circle. It's just weird. And there are all these lines back here to show like it's supposed to be intense and thrilling and invigorating, and he's talking. Like, there's nothing going on. And then it goes, some incident happened. There's some giant monster that attacked. People got hurt. There were innocent people who got hurt. And there are questions being asked of these people who are heroes. Look at Captain Marvel. Look at her chin. Look at her face. What is going on here? This looks like a mask sitting on top of someone else's face. Like, this is bad. Like, this is not good artwork. I'm sorry, but it's really not. And again, look at the backgrounds. Just scribbles. There's nothing going on the back of these panels. There's nothing happening here. This is going to take you... Again, this is one of those pages. It's going to take you 10, 15 seconds to just read through the whole page. And again, I've read this. The story has already happened. They did this years ago. And I'll show you here on Comixology. It's called Avengers The Initiative. And this... sprung out of Civil War. And Civil War, we know, was Captain America versus Iron Man. The difference is, in the comics, it wasn't about the Sarkovia Accords or whatever, but it was the same basic premise where some incident happened, people died, not Black Panther's dad, but people died, and there was a call by the government saying, look, we need to register these superhumans. We got to know what powers they have. We got to know where they're at. We got to be able to know when these things are going to happen because, you know, some kid with special powers sneezes and 300 people die. We need to be on top of that. I'm sorry, but when you got, you know, powers like that, you're not allowed to just walk around and do whatever. Now, look, we're talking about a fictional universe. We're talking about characters. These are not real people. And you may go, well, you know, would you want your child if they were... Look, it's, first of all, fictional story. You're going to deal with this kind of stuff, okay? But second of all, kind of, yeah. Like, if we're talking someone that can just walk up to you and look at you and go bang and your head explodes, that's something you got to deal with as a society that's going to be different than just people having guns, people having knives, people walking down the street with swords, you know, whatever. This is a different situation that we have to deal with. And Marvel dealt with it. They did it. They did this whole series. This whole series was about the government coming in, registering these kids, training them to be heroes, teaching them to be good heroes, teaching them to keep casualties down, becoming strong and becoming powerful. And it went on for several years. This was 3 years, 2007 to 2010. And then after this, there was like Avengers Academy. There was also, was it Avengers The Order was one of them. So Marvel's dealt with this. We've done this story in the aftermath of Civil War. This is not a new story. So again, this outlawed thing, they're like, ooh, come check this out. Well, one, you highlighted a bad writer. Two, you've made it a series that you've already done. And three, it's not spanning out of an event. You know, it's not like Secret Invasion where Norman Osborn suddenly shows up and becomes the hero, and so suddenly he gets trusted and gets all this power, and then he creates the Dark Avengers, and you have all this stuff that kind of rolls out because of something that... This is an event that's made up for this event. This isn't organically growing out of something. This is something just because they go, oh, well, we need to have some sort of controversy. We need to have something for people to argue over and people to talk about freedom and rights and America and whatever. And the story isn't there because the story's already been done. It was dealt with. And you're not going back and dealing with that story. You're starting something brand new because you've got nothing. You've got no real editorial push right now in Marvel Comics to really attract readers through good, solid, ongoing story tales. It's these fake events that come up. So, sales are bad. And they're not getting better. And that's just how that goes. All right, so the final thing we're going to talk about today, the Intellivision. Now, Intellivision has put out a couple videos or a couple announcements in the last 2 days. For those of you unfamiliar, the Intellivision Amico, it's a new company being headed by Tommy Tallarico. If you ever had G4 or Tech TV, he did some of those review shows, Reviews on the Run, and what was the other one? Not X-Play. I forget what it was. But anyway, he did video game reviews on the show. He's a music designer. He does the, every year there's a big touring video game soundtracks with a full orchestra and whatever that travels around Comic-Cons and some of the big cities and whatever. And he's a part of that. I don't know if he's the one behind it or if he's just one of the people who pushes it. But nonetheless, he is really tied into the video game industry. So he's been working to help bring back the Intellivision. And unlike the Atari, which has had such a hard time getting off the ground and difficult for people to get behind it and understand it because of some of the scammers that have been involved in that whole Atari thing, the Intellivision here, they're showing some of the new stuff that's come out. So the first thing is this Moon Patrol. And what they did is they took the first part of an unfinished level, basically, and turned it into a demo that you can play. So you can find it on the App Store, you can get it on Google Play, but you can download Moon Patrol Classic Arcade Game, being remade just to give you kind of an idea of what they're working on, because they want a little more transparency than the Atari guys, because the Atari guys, the last time they were showing a game, it turned out to be a game that they didn't have the rights to, that wasn't being made for their platform. They recently sent out an image that just showed a couple shells of a console, a couple controller shells of what that controller looked like, and then the remade one stick, one button, classic Atari controller that's being remade. They just, you know, they're showing off shells of what the hardware is supposed to look like. That's all they really have to show. Not a lot going on. So Intellivision's like, hey, at least look here. We've got this demo of something that's in process. And then they sent out a second one, which is a video about Breakout. New version of Breakout, which, look, I mean, I'm going to grant you, it's not the most exciting video of all time. This is not the type of thing that's going to make a lot of people like, ooh, wow, I can't believe it. They're doing Breakout, and I don't even know if this is showing up on OBS. Okay, looks like it is. OBS is showing this. But you look at this, and you go, oh, I didn't mean to jump to the end. Sorry about that. But you look at this and you're like, you know, it's a simple, casual game. You can hear the music. It's kind of, you know, ethereal, funky, whatever. You can see that there's some weird stuff going on with the ball trajectory sometimes where it curves. We saw it a minute ago, and I'm trying to see if it'll do it again. But there was some sort of a tractor thing where it made the ball curve a little bit. You've got the power-ups. What's happening here is, unlike the old one where it was going, you know, top to bottom, this one's moving sideways, but you can see here the lines are moving. And as you get rid of blocks, new lines are coming in the back, and they're changing the pattern. And so here, I will scroll ahead a little bit. You can see here that some of these lines coming in, they're not spaced the same. As you get further through, you can see there's different shapes coming through that he's fighting with. You know, trying to get across there. A fun, casual game. It's not the sexiest, you know, launch title. It's not like the greatest game coming, you know, to consoles. This isn't the type of thing that's going to move thousands of units. But it is something that lets you know that there's something concrete going on with their system. They're actually getting something put together. But then on top of that, you can try a little bit of the Moon Patrol just to get a feel of what it's like. But then that Breakout, you can see that there's actually a game behind it. And that is a good time waster type game. It's one of those games where you could spend, if you got 2 minutes, you can play it for 2 minutes, turn it off. You want to spend an hour just having some fun doing that, you could play that for an hour. That's one of those games you might end up playing for like an hour and a half. Just getting into and enjoying. It's a very simple mechanic, but there's a lot of stuff to it. It's a good party game. You got friends over. You try to see who can do better. You know, try to unlock some of the other levels where you start and it's a little faster and some of that stuff going on. There's just a lot of positive things that come out of something like that, as opposed to a lot of the negatives that are coming from something like the Atari VCS that they've been promising for years and still have really nothing to show off for it. So I am a little more cautiously optimistic Although I know something like the Intellivision, for as much money as they want for it, I think it's like $300 is what they're looking at selling it for. It's more of a niche product. It's more of a boutique item, but it's going to have a few more top tier big games that get people really interested in. One thing they could do to get a lot of interest is to have the entire library of old games on there. That would definitely help push. I know I would definitely be interested a lot to see that. They're also doing multiple colors and styles on it. So there's one that's very Tron inspired. There's one that has like an old school feel to it. There's one that's like a wood grain look to it for, you know, people that want that 70s aesthetic on something like that. So again, a lot more positives than negatives with the Intellivision than there is with anything else. But okay. We've gone for an hour, so it's time to wrap it up. But I want to thank you guys again for watching or listening. Those of you, again, with the audio, thanks for checking us out. You can always check out the video by coming to thepopc.net. For those of you watching this, most of you are watching it on YouTube. And great, if you're on YouTube, then I would ask, you know, if you do have any comments, to go ahead and leave them. And I know it's one of those things people are always like, leave a comment down below and let me know what you think. And there's some sort of analytics and whatever. But for me, I want to talk about what you want to talk about, like I was talking with the Once and Future today. That came up as a thing because someone was asking about it. So let's make that into a little segment here. And we did. We talked about it. So if there's something that you want to see covered, something you want me to go into more detail on, like when we were talking about COPA and we were dealing with all of that stuff and you guys had questions, we did 2 days on that, 2 shows, because you guys had a lot of questions and feedback. If there's something you want, then leave it down there or email me. If you're like, hey, well, you just want that because of the analytics on YouTube and it gets more people to get the video in front of them and you're just trying to whatever, look, fine. I don't care. Send me an email. dirt@popculturenetwork.com or dirt@thepopc.net or dirt@dirtmound.com or I've forgotten what some of the other, dirtmound@hotmail.com. I have a Hotmail out there. You can do that too. I've got a bunch of email addresses, whatever. Just get it to me. Send it to me on Twitter. Send it to me on Facebook. Send it to me, whatever. But like I said, I want to do a show that you want to watch. So I want to hear back from you to know what it is you want to watch. And if you don't like, say, all these comic previews, like, dude, you spent 45 minutes talking about new comics coming out this week. I don't want that much. Can you do it in 20 minutes? You know, let me know that kind of stuff, because we will tweak this show as we go along. But as far as for me for now, I'm not going to ask you to like. I'm not going to ask you to subscribe. I'm not going to ask you to hit that bell, and I'm not going to ask you to share. All I'm going to ask is that you remember this one thing.
You're watching the best looking guy on the internet.